Welcome to Talking Mopars, episode number 183. Folks, thank you for being patient with me. I know I haven't been releasing new episodes, and here is the truth. The truth is, I'm trying to figure out a way to breathe new life into Talking Mopars, and I'm trying to figure out a new direction to take this show. And I'm open to suggestions, so if you have any, please reach out to me, chris@talkingmopars.com, and let me know what direction you'd like to see Talking Mopars go. But for now, I know that there is a bunch of unreleased content that I have that was originally intended to be bonus episodes for Facebook subscribers. Well, I really wasn't happy with Facebook's subscription platform, so I've been trying to cancel it, and I don't know how. So if you still subscribe on Facebook to the podcast monetarily, please cancel your subscription unless you want to support the podcast, in which I would say thank you. I appreciate you very much for that. There will be a couple more giveaways on there to celebrate everybody who's helped support me along the way. But for now, I'm going to release all the bonus episodes that previously were not heard publicly. The only way you got them is if you were a subscriber to the show, so through Facebook. So I'm going to release all those episodes while I figure out where to take the show and how to make it better. So like I said, any suggestions, reach out to me, chris@talkingmopars.com. But for now, enjoy these bonus episodes. And now, without further ado, if you are a Mopar enthusiast, then you are in the right place. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into the best Mopar enthusiast-driven podcast on planet Earth. And I am your host, Chris Albrecht, better known as the Mopar Hunter, and this is Talking Mopars.
You're listening to Talking Mopars with the Mopar Hunter, your direct connection to all things Mopar.
What is this episode about? Well, I feel like a good place to start would be to get to know me a little better. And to do that, I thought it would be fun to list my top 10 Mopars that I would like to someday have in my own garage, starting at the bottom of the list at number 10, and over the span of a 10-episode series, working my way up to my number one Mopar that I would love to have someday. In each of these episodes, I'll tell you what Mopar falls under that specific number in the top 10, why it's on my list in the first place, and I'll be going over some brief history and keynotes about that particular Mopar from the top 10 list. So today we are starting at my number 10 spot. This Mopar has been on my radar for over 15 years. It embodies the craziness that is Mopar performance and what it means to push the envelope of performance for street vehicles. It was first seen by the public in January of 2002 at the North American International Auto Show, but the first one didn't actually roll off the assembly line until November of 2003 for the 2004 model year. The production of this particular Mopar unfortunately ceased in 2006, with 2006 being the final year of its production in its three-year run. Any guesses? If you guessed that the Ram SRT10 made it to my top 10 list at number 10, you're dead on. I have always loved pickup trucks, and I really love sporty pickups or muscle trucks. And that's exactly why I have the Mr. Norm tribute truck, because I love trucks. Mopar is definitely no stranger to sport pickups when you consider the Warlocks, Little Red and Midnight Express trucks of the 70s, the Shelby Dakotas of the late 80s, the Dakota and Durango RTs of the 90s and 2000s, of course the SRT10, and of course we have to mention the latest performance truck offering from Dodge, the Supercharged TRX, which is absolutely awesome. That's the Raptor Killer. I would also have to kick my own ass if I failed to mention what I would consider to be the front runner of all Mopar sport trucks, and that would be the CSS and HPP swept lines of the early to mid 60s. I would love to find one with a 426 street wedge in it. I think that would be amazing, but they are super hard to find. I've only seen one in person, and it was badass. Very cool trucks. The SRT10 would officially be the first production Dodge truck to utilize the 8.3 liter V10 out of a Dodge Viper. And how awesome it is to have a Dodge Viper engine in between the frame rails of a Ram 1500, and that's exactly what the SRT10 was. It touted 500 horsepower and 525 pound-feet of torque and could rip the quarter mile in 13.7 seconds at 100 miles an hour, making it the world's fastest production truck in the Guinness Book of World Records with a top speed of 154 miles an hour back in its heyday. In the 3 years of production, only a little over 10,000 SRT10s ever rolled off the assembly line. That makes these trucks highly desirable, and in the past few years, the prices have been climbing like crazy. I've seen low mileage examples go for, you know, above 50 grand. And I've seen, like, there's one local standard cab, I believe it's a 2004, and it's got like 125,000 miles on it, and they still want, you know, 25 grand. It's insane, and it's a pile of crap. But, the highest production year was 2005 with a total of 5,113 produced, and the lowest production year was 2006 with only 1,973 produced. The middle of the road belonged to the 2004 with 3,057 SRT10s produced. There were even a few special editions of the already special limited production Viper Power trucks too, and they include the Yellow Fever Edition, which produced less than 500 at 497 produced, the Night Runner Edition with only 370 produced, the Commemorative Edition with only 201 produced, and the Viper Club of America Edition with only 52 produced. The reason the SRT10s made my list was simply because I love trucks, and while I see the practicality of, say, you know, a long bed one-ton four-wheel drive mega cab diesel for hauling and towing, I absolutely love the ridiculousness of a, you know, non-practical, tire-shredding, world-record-holding muscle truck, because that's what the SRT10 is, a muscle truck. And up until the release of the TRX, it held the throne as the ultimate Dodge muscle truck. Now, if I had to be specific, I'd prefer a single cab 2006 Night Runner Edition SRT10. Only 119 of those were made, and to me, the Night Runner was the most wicked of all SRT10s because it had, you know, the black paint, the dark nickel pearl 22-inch wheels, a black chrome grille, black headlight housings. You know, some of the interior accents were black, Night Runner badging, and of course, it was serialized with a Night Runner dash plaque. So that's the Mopar that holds last place at number 10 on my top 10 list of Mopars that I would love to own someday, the 2006 single cab Night Runner Edition SRT10. You know, and that's at slot 10. This list, you know, coming from me, I mean, you guys know me well enough by now. I'm sure you could guess what are in my top 10, you know, at least. If you couldn't guess one of my most sought-after Mopars that are in my top 10 list of Mopars that I would love to own, but probably won't someday, I'd be surprised. The SRT10 might have come as a surprise to some of you, but looking at my list, I guarantee one of you, actually, you know what? All of you should be able to at least get one of these right. And, you know, I'm looking up the list, the tail end of the list, you know, say the last four are a little bit unconventional coming from me. Well, maybe I would say three of the last four. So between seven and number 10, there are a few weird ones in there, but from six all the way up to number one, you know, I think you'll understand why I picked these particular Mopars, because they're awesome. And what we're going to do is we're going to go up the list all the way up to number one. And like you heard in this episode, you know, I'm going to tell you why I chose the particular Mopar and a little bit about it. And the next one, I was actually going to do an episode of the podcast about it, but I just, you know, there's not really too much to talk about with this next one. And I don't even know where to begin as far as, you know, my explanation for how it even made my top 10 list. But I'll go ahead and tell it to you right now. The number 9 slot belongs to the Dodge B100 Street Van, a member of the infamous adult toy lineup from Dodge. Everything about the Street Vans screamed 70s. And we're going to get a little bit more into it on the next episode, which is bonus episode number 2. But I wanted to make sure that you guys got a good idea of what to expect in the next one. And then it only gets better from there, folks, I promise you. And surprisingly, the Ram SRT10 is the newest Mopar on the list. You know, now that I'm looking at it, the oldest Mopar on this list, surprise, surprise, is 1968. So those are my hints. Gosh, I'm looking at this list. I almost feel bad putting my top Mopars in a list of 10 because there's so many that I could throw in and interchange a bunch of different ones in this list now that I'm looking at it. But, you know, when I sat down to compile this list, you know, there was a couple that I eliminated, and I think I started with like 15 or 20 of the most sought after Mopars, you know, in my mind that I would love to own. And I had to whittle it down, and whittling it down to 10, I had to sacrifice some that you would be like, how did a street van beat out that? And you would have to know me and understand that I'm a weirdo. Like many of you know, I grew up around vans, custom vans, and the street van, it's just the epitome of vans. You know what I mean? Back in the 70s and the mid and late 60s, when vans were becoming popular, I believe Dodge was the only manufacturer to step up and go, hey, we got something for you. A fully customizable street van. There's actually a really cool picture, and I forget what dealership it is, but it's a picture of the front lineup of a dealership, and it's all street vans with custom paint jobs. The picture is awesome. I should get it blown up and hang it on my wall in the office. But the street vans, man, gosh, you know, being a lover of vans, and I know a lot of you guys are just like, God, here he goes again on the van thing. I don't know. There was just something cool with muscle cars. Like, I'm a day two type of guy. I like to keep things relatively close to stock, you know, maybe, you know, some wheels and tires and a few little modifications under the hood and, you know, a nice subtle rake. But when it comes to vans, you know, I would love to have just a fully decked out van. But I do think that some of the interiors are a little ridiculous. I was looking at a couple vans for sale on the market right now that are ridiculously priced. And the interiors, I don't know. With my van, it's a 78. Okay, it's a 78 B200. And what I wanted to do is turn it into a mobile podcast studio. So it wouldn't necessarily, if you popped open the back of my van, it's not going to really scream 70s. At least I don't think so with the vision I have in my mind. The feeling I wanted to give somebody when they open the back of the van is like man cave. So, and I've heard this term thrown around in the custom van world, but it's going to be my van cave. That's going to, you know, be the mobile home of Talking Mopars. So it's going to have mics, recording equipment. It's going to be acoustically treated so that the podcast sounds good when I record from it, because I'm going to be recording on the road and at events. That's the idea. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to get to that point, but that's the plan. So, you know, exterior wise, the van is going to look like you yanked it right out of the 70s for the most part. But when you open the doors, I really want to give the back of the van, you know, kind of a, like I said, a van cave feel, you know, like a Mopar lover's bar. You know, I it's hard for me to explain, but I think once I get the interior done and you see it, you'll understand that it is the perfect mobile podcasting studio for Talking Mopars. And I'm really excited to get into it. But the Dodge B100 street van made the list at number 9, and we're going to get into that on the next episode, bonus episode number 2. If you've ever thought about swapping a modern Hemi into your classic Mopar, then go visit my friend Blake at Sublime Technologies. Formerly known as DIY Hemi, Blake has spent years developing products to help you with your Gen 3 Hemi swap needs and his mission to Hemi swap the world. So if this is a swap that you've been kicking around, maybe you just want some more info, do not wait. Head on over to sublimeparts.com and start your Hemi swap today. There you have it, my friends. Another episode of Talking Mopars is in the books. For everything you need to know about the show, you know where to go, talkingmopars.com. Until we talk again, I am your host, Chris Albrecht, and that was Talking Mopars.
Thank you for listening to Talking Mopars, your direct connection to all things Mopar. Until next time, remember, no Mopar left behind.